Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude this study of Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, in a message titled, Love in Knowledge and Judgment. This is part 2 of 2.
We love you.
And you're looking at me and say, we've gotten to know you too, preacher, and we still love you. Amen. See? That's love. But it's with clarity. You know what you're dealing with. And it says in verse 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent. You can't do that if you're an airhead. I just love everything and everybody. What's that song? Everything is beautiful in its own way. Baloney. Not everything's beautiful. And so you better open your eyes to the reality. Not everything is beautiful. There are some ugly things in this world.
Yeah.
And you go into a relationship with somebody by recognizing those things, not ignoring those things, and dealing with them biblically. That's biblical love. And then you can approve things that are excellent. And it's what I'm talking about this morning, folks. I'm telling you, it is one of the biggest things wrong with people I'm talking about real Christians in the church today. They will seek counsel from me and from other pastors I know, and they'll come and they'll seek counsel, but they didn't even start by trying to understand the situation and to learn something and to use biblical judgment. And of course, that's because in most churches today, they lie to everybody and say, you're not supposed to judge. That's a big honking lie.
Amen.
So how do we do that? How do we approve things that are excellent? We refer back to verse 9, where it says, in knowledge and in all judgment. Yeah. Ask yourself a real tough one right now. All these churches that say, judge not, and put a period where there is none.
Amen.
We'll look at it in a second. How are you going to love in knowledge and in all judgment if you don't judge? Obviously, you've had to have judged, or you couldn't obey this verse.
Yeah.
So the world's empty love is baseless and it leads to what?
Distraction.
Amen.
Amen.
That's where the world's empty love leads to. Hosea 4:6, you hear me repeat and repeat and repeat this. My people are destroyed for lack of
knowledge.
Because thou hast rejected
knowledge,
I will also reject thee. That's a statement to Israel during a time of apostasy, but it's the way God handles people in every dispensation.
Amen.
Biblical love is informed and real.
Amen.
That's biblical love. It's informed and real. You don't ignore the red flags. You deal with them. And not, you know, one red flag doesn't mean you run. You have to use some judgment. And then you also, sometimes you realize that's something we can deal with. That's something that can be changed. But you got to also understand, you don't change people, God does. And so you have to basically, this is just a friend, whether it's a friend or someone you're thinking about marrying or whatever, you have to approach them and say, you know, this is a red flag for me. That's what you have to say. And you know what? This has got to change. And if you're not willing to change this, I can't change you. And so we're going to have a real problem.
Yeah.
That's the way to deal with it, not to run from it. 1 John 2:5 says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Even your relationship with the Lord and whether or not you love him can be detected by your own self-examination of whether or not your love of God is based on his word. That's why I don't take anybody seriously when they say, I love Jesus, but they don't study the book.
Amen.
They don't understand the Word of God. You try to talk to them about basics in the Bible and they don't have a clue.
Yeah.
That's not real love. I can only speak for myself in a practical sense, in experience, but let me tell you something. When I got saved, I fell in love with Jesus.
Amen.
And I couldn't get enough of this book
because
I wanted to know about it. And I've said this before, but say it again. When you fall, it's like falling in love with the person you're going to marry. When you fall in love, the first thing, you got to know everything about them.
Yeah.
You just ask, you want to know, and you have to control yourself. I got to make sure I don't ask too many questions. I might make them feel a little uncomfortable. But you want to know about them. You want to know their family, what their life has been like. What's your favorite color? And you know what's coming when he says, what's your favorite flower? Some florist is about to make some money. Daisies. Yeah, that brings back me. Contrary to the world's lies, I said this a moment ago, we're going to dig in here for a minute. Love does not mean never judge. I've known some people put up with lies in their marriage, adultery, and not confront the other one because they were taught never to judge. That's foolishness. I just want to show you, though, as a preacher, this is what I face. I got this off of the World Wide Web, internets. But if John the Baptist preached today to the lukewarm church, repentancecry.com put this out just to give credit where it's due. John stood out there and said, "Oh, generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And here's how today's Christians would respond to John. John, you're a legalist. John, you're pushing people away from Jesus. Oh man, I hear that so much, all the time. John, you need to show more love, love, love. Just tell people how much God loves them. Don't confront them with the fact they're a sinner, that they're lost and they're going to hell if they don't get saved. Just tell them how much God loves them. See, that's a half-truth there. You do tell them how much God loves them. God loves them enough to save them from their sin, to save them from hell, and once they're saved, He'll help them overcome that sin. That's how much He loves you. Amen. You're not very Christ-like, John. You know who else isn't very Christ-like according to this crowd? Christ. Yeah. I had somebody tell me that, and you can only do this in person because if it's on the internet, they'll block you or whatever. But if you're in person, get your Bible or Bible app or whatever, turn to Matthew 23.
Amen.
And say, could you read that? Read that. I'll tell you when to stop. See how Jesus was pushing people away? He wasn't very Christ-like. And then take him to Revelation 19 for icing on the cake. John, stop judging everyone. You need to build a relationship with them first. That's another big one. That's why there's some guys who say that they don't believe street preaching. They think it's a sin. You shouldn't go out on the street and say, repent! No, you need to have a relationship with them first. Which means you hardly ever preach the gospel to anybody. If you wait for a relationship, John, you're being a stumbling block. And you'll hear all these. If you're red hot for the Lord and you're out preaching the gospel and you're handing out gospel tracts and all that you're going to hear this stuff. And a lot of you are like, yep, been there, done that. Amen. Praise God for you. Amen. Yeah, that's another one. Yeah, that's right. Say they're already saved. And you're like, well, wait a minute. They didn't tell me that. And their answer when I asked them didn't match Scripture. So the Bible does not say judge not, period. Never. True love is to judge righteously and with good motives. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 7. We'll round this thing up. Matthew chapter 7. I know you're getting hungry. I'm judging you right now. You're hungry. I can see it. Matthew chapter 7. Now, focus in on that first verse. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Read that with me. Judge not that ye be not judged, period, right there. See where the period is? There's something wrong with somebody. They're quoting the Bible like Satan did in Genesis 3 and Matthew 4 when they put a period after the word judge not. Because that's not a period. Some of you may have flunked grammar in English and punctuation may not be your thing, but that's not a period. That's a what? Thanks, because I forgot. No, I'm just kidding. Judge not, comma, that ye be not judged. That means the standard is you don't judge somebody when you yourself can be judged. Don't be a hypocrite. Luke says, verse 2, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Wait a minute, you just told me not to judge, didn't you? No. He didn't say not to judge. See? He's not contradicting himself in verse 2. If you turn this into judge not, period, then he's contradicting himself in verse 2 because he just said, now judge. But he said, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. See what I'm saying? He is telling you to judge there. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. The harder you judge others, that's going to turn right back around on you. So you better be biblical. Because once you start shoving your own personal convictions down everybody's throat, they're going to shove them down yours, and then we got a bunch of people gagging all over the place. It gets ugly. How many of you had people say, stop shoving that down my throat? I have never tried to shove anything down anybody's throat except for Sebi and his pills. But speaking the truth is not shoving anything down anybody's throat. And if anybody responds when you simply try to tell them the truth and they say, you're shoving that down my throat, I just tell them, you know what? That tells me you simply don't want to hear the truth. You're being defensive, and that's a false accusation you just made about me right now. I'm not trying to shove anything down your throat. Verse 3 says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? See, the problem isn't judging, it's being a hypocrite. Verse 4, or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Now, get a visual of that. They've got a speck, you've got a telephone pole. See? That's the point. Verse 5, read those first two words out loud with me. Thou hypocrite. See? If you don't judge righteously, if you don't judge biblically, and if you're a hypocrite, you're being rebuked by Jesus. Amen. He said it, I didn't. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. There's where judgment comes in. You had better be seeing things clearly without your own sin clogging up your vision before you start running around telling everybody else what they need to do. And man, I've seen that so often. It's a shame. But the biblical motive is we love in knowledge and judgment with the desire to please God and do things His way. In other words, when you see somebody, like, you know, I've had people, they will, serious things. They've come to our meetings denying the deity of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, amen.
Brother Mark and I are talking about the Hebrew, what they call them, Hebrew Israelites, Hebrew roots, and a lot of them, who's that one Rude, the guy named Rude is his name, I think, they deny the deity of Christ.
Yeah.
I don't have fellowship with those people. That's what we were talking about. Mark said, you can't fellowship with these guys. No, you can't. Because they deny the deity of Christ. They don't have the right Jesus.
Amen.
You see, our fellowship is in Jesus.
Amen.
You have to have the right Jesus. That's why we can't join the ecumenical movement and fellowship with the Mormons.
Amen.
They have a false Jesus. The Jehovah's Witnesses have a false Jesus. I'm sorry, but the Catholics have a false Jesus.
Amen.
My Jesus doesn't need mommy's permission. Amen?
Amen?
And so forth. And our desire is that we please God and do things His way. And that's why when somebody teaches something like that, I love them enough to tell them the truth. To lay it out biblically. I try not to get emotional about it. I try not to, you know, say, well, that's, you're an idiot. But, you know, I try not to do that. I just say, listen, this is what the Bible says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is Jesus. He is God.
Amen.
Isaiah 9:6 calls Him the Mighty God.
Amen.
Isaiah 7:14 says He's Emmanuel. And you go to Matthew chapter 1, it says that means God with us.
Amen.
But the problem is new versions start messing with that stuff.
You
go over to 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, talking about Jesus. New versions don't say that. They take out the reference to God and just say, He was manifest in the flesh. See that?
Yeah.
That's satanic.
Amen.
So I'm judging again. That ye may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. Offense of who? Offense of God and His people.
Amen.
And if you won't judge, beginning with self, and if you won't judge what's being taught, Acts 17:11 says you search the Scriptures daily to see if what you're being taught by other men is so. Doesn't mean you don't listen to other teachers. That means you test all teachers.
Amen.
If you won't do that, you will be an offense to God and others who believe the Word of God. In verse 11, read that with me. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. And that's the end result. You want to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Righteousness only comes with knowledge and judgment. And that's why righteousness and love are spoken of the way they are, because you can't love God, you can't love God's people and not be filled with His knowledge and practicing biblical judgment. It just can't happen. Our motive to love in knowledge and judgment is for the glory and praise of who?
Jesus.
See, that's another thing, is when you do love somebody and you with knowledge and judgment, you do try to show them. You're not doing it to prove you're smart. I'm the big guy. I know everything. I've told people, you know, I try to tell people, they mean well. They'll say, oh, this Greg Miller, he knows his stuff. And there's that. No, there's things I don't know. I'm not a walking encyclopedia. The point isn't to put your preacher that you like up. It's to put Jesus up.
Amen.
And then if you refer them to me, that's fine, with the understanding that I'm just a human being who wants to help you see the truth.
Amen.
So that you can grow in your love of Jesus, which can only be in knowledge and judgment.
Amen.
So where does this figure in your daily life? And in your lifetime. This is a little self-reflection here. What's your attitude about knowledge and judgment? Is your love of Jesus empty? Are you clueless when it comes to the things of God? Or are you learning and growing in your knowledge of God, able to judge with discernment? It all comes kind of back to thinking. So many people go through life without thinking. Let's close page 64 in a praise book.
Wow.
this very important message on love, biblical love. Of course, we love you because you first loved us. Jesus died for the ungodly, committed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We just thank you, Lord, for your love. And that really the love that we have for you and for others originates with you. By your Spirit, by the knowledge of your Word is Spirit and life. And with a willingness to judge things in light of your Word, that we desire to love you with our lives and to love you with our entire lifetime, whatever amount of time we have left. All to the praise and glory of Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his precious name. Amen.
Stand up.